The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Time to take back control of your life and start making choices based on what your true self and intuition are telling you. Welcome to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Sisko. If you are one of the many people that deserve a better life and more fulfillment than what they are living now, the next hour will be enlightening, inspirational, and above all, will provide the direction you need. Now, here is your host, Regina Sisko.
Hello, I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and welcome to my show, Shining Bright, A Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Worth. And, you know, I like to start my show by sharing one of my stories or some food for thought. So last week I was talking to you about speaking your truth and standing in your power and how really important that is. And in my experience, it can be challenging for us and I'm speaking to women, men too, but I think it's a trait for women, who have a hard time speaking your truth and standing in your power and taking care of ourselves. You know, it's that role we have of being pleasers and caretakers and nurturers, and which is all well and good. It's who we are. But it's not at the sake of losing ourselves completely and not taking care of ourselves. Because it's your job to take care of yourself. And I can assure you that no one else is going to do it for you. Don't expect your spouse to do it, your partner, or your family and friends. This is your job to take care of you and to take care of you first. And that generally is the tricky part, is letting ourselves put ourselves at the top of the list versus everybody else. And sometimes we don't speak up because we don't want to make waves or hurt other people's feelings. And, you know, as I mentioned, I have to practice this all the time. I still get into situations where I don't want to speak my truth or I pull back. You know, I've had something this past week, with family issues. You know, I don't want to make waves or hurt anybody's feelings. But ultimately, when I do that or you do that, the only ones we really end up hurting in ourselves, which can spiral us into pain and suffering and hurt and resentment. And that's really not why we're here. We're here to make choices that feel good. And we're here to take care of ourselves. And it's really not our responsibility on how other people are going to react, right? It's our responsibility to take care of ourselves. And as we do that, we can be more effective and efficient in taking care of others. So I wanted to actually do a little bit of theta healing with you all today. So theta healing is a process of spiritual energy healing that I can move into the theta brainwave and from there move into the creator's energy and can ask for healings. And there's a process with this healing of downloads, which is I can download feelings that you may not have experienced before. So, for example, a feeling could be that it's safe to speak your truth, that you feel safe to stand in your power. So I'm going to share some of these statements with you today. And so I'm going to actually just move into this space now. And what I'd like you to do is just take a few breaths in and out. And it will just take me a few seconds here to move into my energy space. So what I'm going to do is share a statement, and what you will do is say silently to yourself, yes or no. Yes, if you'd like to receive this healing energy, or no, you don't. So the first statement is, would you like to know what it feels like to feel safe to speak your truth? And would you like to know what it feels like to feel safe to stand in your power? And would you like to know that what it feels like to feel worthy and deserving of speaking your truth? And would you like to know what it feels like to be worthy and deserving of standing in your power? And would you like all aspects of yourself to know this too? So the Creator has sent the healing energy, and my intention for this healing was for everyone who listens to the show will receive this healing energy if you've said yes to these statements. And I can feel the energy already. So I'm hoping that this will be useful to you going forward, and this is something that I'll be incorporating into the show again. So with that, I also wanted to tell you about my relationship wellness program called Feeling Better Than Ever. And this is my coaching, healing, and renewal program for women who are rebuilding after divorce or relationship breakup, or who might be struggling in their current relationship. So I want to ask you, or you might know somebody who's experiencing this, how many days have you spent in bad relationships? And how much more time are you going to spend? What is this costing you emotionally, mentally, physically, and spiritually? I want you to know that I can help you heal these old beliefs and patterns and feelings, like I just demonstrated for you, so you can move into a true divine relationship and have the love of your life that you deserve. To learn more about this program, you can email me at shiningbright19@gmail.com for a free 20-minute Feeling Better Than Ever consultation. Share this with your friends who you think could benefit from this program as well. As part of the process of the coaching and healing process, the healing work that I do is the theta healing, which you just experienced. So it's really beneficial in helping to clear and balance energy and to helping you to move forward. And again, you can email me at shiningbright19@gmail.com for a free 20-minute Feeling Better Than Ever consultation. So I want to take a deep breath in and slowly breathe out. And take another deep breath in and slowly breathe out. And one more deep breath in and slowly breathe out. And my show today is called The Feng Shui Mythbuster, and I'm so glad to have back Kathleen McCandless, who's the author of Feng Shui That Makes Sense. And let me tell you a little bit more about Kathleen. She's a highly respected, nationally known expert, author, teacher, and speaker on the subject of Feng Shui. She has the number one best-selling feng shui book in the United States, as I mentioned, called Feng Shui That Makes Sense, Easy Ways to Create a Space That Feels as Good as It Looks. With over 20 years' experience, Kathleen's unique no-nonsense practical approach to feng shui has been featured in many esteemed publications, including the New York Times, the Washington Post, the San Diego Union Tribune, the Denver Post, and many more. Kathleen's radio and television appearances include the best feng shui expert in San Diego. For more information about her services, go to her website at www.sandiegofengshui.com. And for more information about her book and feng shui certification courses, go to Feng Shui That Makes Sense. And Kathleen, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Regina. I'm so excited to be here with you today. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, you were here several months ago, and you were talking about your fabulous book on feng shui. So I'd like you to maybe just recap a bit for those who may not have read your book or are that familiar with feng shui. So can you tell us a little bit about feng shui and kind of your purpose of the book and bringing the truth back to feng shui?
Well, you know, Regina, I didn't know how you were going to start the show today, and my heart was just so warm listening to you talk to the listeners today about the about truth and standing in your power. And I can really relate to that because I started writing my book about 11 years ago. And my background prior to being a feng shui consultant was in science. And as I started studying feng shui many, many years ago, a lot of what I had started to hear associated with feng shui really didn't ring true to me. It just sounded, so much of it sounded like mythology and superstition and magic and nonsense. And I think, you know, my higher self had me persevere and really trust that there was something majestic behind all of that. And throughout many, many years of research and study, I found the essence of feng shui. And what feng shui really is the study of the environment and how it affects people. And essentially, 5,000 years ago in ancient China, the Chinese and all their wisdom really created a system for people to live better. In other words, this was a largely agricultural society located in a country that is subject to major, major natural disasters such as typhoons and earthquakes and extreme heat in the summer and extreme cold in the winter. So there were a lot of variables based on the natural world. And so what the ancient Chinese and all their wisdom, and they were extremely wise, we know that they invented things like paper and gunpowder and acupuncture and medicinal systems, but they also invented the compass. And the ancient Chinese were masters at observing the human condition and also nature. And so what they did is they created a system for people to live in better harmony with nature, within the natural world, and also ways for them to basically feel safe and to be protected, from the natural world and also the built environment. So when we look at feng shui from that perspective, everything falls into place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's a really good overcap. And I'm going to actually just take a break here, Kathleen, so we can just continue on. Great. And I'm speaking to Kathleen McCandless, author, expert, and teacher of feng shui, who is telling us about her book, Feng Shui That Makes Sense. You can learn more about her services by going to www.sandiegofengshui.com. And we'll be right back after the break.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best, Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or a comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Kathleen McCandless, expert author and the Feng Shui Mythbuster, who is sharing what really isn't true or practical with Feng Shui. And I have to tell you, it was so much fun when I was getting ready for the show, and, you know, we had talked prior to, and I'm like, okay, what can I title this show? And I went, oh, she's the Mythbuster. Yeah, that's a great title. And feel free to use that if you want.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, Regina, what we were talking about prior to the break was so powerful because, you know, just I could relate to so much of what you started to say. And, you know, what I started to say also was that it took me many years to have the courage to come out of the closet, so to speak, regarding feng shui and what I had discovered in my years of research. And that is basically there were so many things associated with it, which we'll talk about some specifics in a moment, that really what I found is that it was time for me to speak the truth and really dispel a lot of the myths and misconceptions. In fact, throughout my book, there are these boxes called reality checks, and we're going to talk about a few of those today. But the point I'm trying to make is that I was so worried about criticism or censorship or, you know, a lot of us walk our lives in so many ways in fear. And I finally had to just get past that and say, you know what, my clients and my students and the people that I work with are responding to the truth of this majestic system. And I felt strongly it was time, and the time was right, to basically say for some of these myths and superstitions that the emperor has no clothes. And what I discovered underneath a lot of the superstition and misunderstanding in feng shui was really a beautiful, incredible system that kind of like the game of telephone where you start telling somebody something and by the time it gets, excuse me, around the table, the story is convoluted and changed. That is what's happened to much of feng shui throughout the centuries. And so to kind of scrape off all the layers of basically nonsense and superstition that have been packed on top of the feng shui principles and get back to the truth, it is such a beautiful system. And also, before I say anything else, I want to point out, we're talking about a culture, as I mentioned earlier, that invented, you know, gunpowder, acupuncture, paper, all these incredible things that we still use every day today. And this culture, or this society was so intelligent and so gifted that to reduce a powerful system like feng shui to a set of superstition and good luck charms is basically an insult to these incredible incredible, intelligent people that actually began this system so many centuries ago. And so it's my honor and my privilege to be able to present this information in its true form back into the mainstream so that we can all understand that this is an incredible system that can really change your life.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So what was the original purpose of feng shui? Why was it invented?
Well, really, it, as I mentioned earlier, it was really for, it was like a way of being, if you will. I like to say it's the oldest system of environmental psychology in the world. And so what the feng shui masters did a long time ago is they observed the human condition. They looked at the way people respond to the natural environment. And basically, everything that we do to this day, whether we're out in nature or we're indoors, has to do with our survival instinct. And your survival instinct is part of your automatic nervous system, and your survival instinct reacts before you can consciously react. In other words, it's automatic because it's to keep you alive. If you had to stop and think, gee, I better pull my hand out of this fire or I might get burned, by the time that thought is processed cognitively, you're going to be severely burned. So that survival instinct is a knee-jerk reaction to our environment. And what they did is they looked at the way people react to the natural world, and they also integrated those instincts into a system that works with the man-made world or the built environment. And about 150 years ago, as we began to move from our agricultural roots, out in nature to cities and factories during the Industrial Revolution and then, of course, into modern society, those instincts that kept us safe and alive in nature still serve us in the built environment. So we take it one step further and look at how can we feel the most comfortable in our surroundings, and that has to do 100% with whether or not we feel safe. And when you look at it from that core value of feeling safe and protected, everything else in feng shui falls into place.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So I think we'd like to learn more about some of these myths and misconceptions. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to ask you about some of these.
Great.
But the first one I want to start with is one of my own. So it was so funny after I had you on the show the first time. I started laughing because, you know, I practiced feng shui for a long time. And I'm sure the myths and conceptions part of it. Mm-hmm. And so I was looking around the house, and I'm looking at all these little green dragons that I have in the east corner of the house. So let's talk about that one.
Okay, that's a good one. It's so funny. You know, one day I had a lady come to the front door, a client, with a shopping bag full of little gadgets, you know, these plastic little animals and things. And she said that she'd gone to a feng shui store, and the man told her that she needed to buy all these things and put them in the right place or she'd have bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
And that a year later she had to throw them all away because they had absorbed all the bad luck, and she'd have to come back to his store to buy all new ones. And I said, well, gee, how much did all that stuff cost you? And she said, about $1,000. And I was just, you know, so absolutely disgusted. And I thought, you know, no wonder feng shui in some areas gets this snake oil negative connotation, because with things like that out there, I mean, oh, my gosh. So first of all, the little green dragon, let's talk about him for a minute. In feng shui, in the early days of feng shui, what they did is the feng shui masters attributed certain landforms to animals. In other words, a great big mountain behind a property is considered very, very good because it's protecting you from behind. I mean, we'd rather sit in a chair with a back, you know, with a back on it. It makes us feel protected. No one can sneak up on us. And the same thing goes for landforms. So ideally a city, let's talk about some cities like Denver or San Diego or Los Angeles, San Francisco, Singapore, Hong Kong. These cities all have these beautiful mountains behind them. Well, in feng shui, the masters would talk about that mountain being the black tortoise, okay? It was called the tortoise. And the hills on the sides, one of the hills was a green dragon. They called it the green dragon. That was just the name for a hill that was on the side to the right. You know, if you're standing on top of the mountain in the back and you think of your right side, that hill was supposed to be a little higher, and they called that the dragon. And then on the left side, that hill was considered the tiger, all right? So this was a shorthand for two feng shui masters to say to each other, gee, I'm doing this property and the black tortoise is missing, which would instantly convey the concept that this property or this village or whatever it was didn't have protection from the rear. So instead of saying, gee, you know, I'm doing this property and it's missing the great big hill that's supposed to be behind the property because that's the best feng shui, they had a shorthand. So do you understand? It was just a way to convey information quickly to one another. Or the green dragon was missing, and that meant that the hill that was on the right side, if you're standing on the black tortoise looking out, was missing or wasn't correct. So it was basically just a form of shorthand to be able to communicate. Well, again, people have convoluted this and misunderstood this on and on through the centuries, and now people think that they have to have this little plastic green dragon in the east side of their house because everyone's forgotten or no one understands what the purpose of the green dragon really was. It was always meant to symbolize a mountain on the side of a property. And again, through an oral tradition like the game of telephone, that original concept was lost, and instead superstition was placed on top of it. And I actually feng shuied a house once where this lady had commissioned a sculptor to create this gigantic turtle to put in her backyard because she read in a book that she needed a turtle in her backyard for good feng shui. And it was just funny. I mean, I internally laughed because that's never what it was meant to be.
Right.
It was just meant to symbolize that you had a great big hill behind your house that was protective, not that you had this physical representation of an animal in your yard. So that's
right.
A great symbol. That's a great example of how this has been misunderstood.
Yeah, I mean, it's really fascinating. I mean, how really ancient this is and how it has evolved over time. But, yeah, how it's really gotten so misconstrued is pretty impressive.
Yes.
So we're going to be going to break in just a minute, but I'm going to ask you another question.
Okay.
So another thing that we often hear about is that we need to have a red front door to have good feng shui.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about that one.
It's one of my favorites. Yeah, I get this all the time. Kathleen, you know, I want to warn you, we don't have a red front door, so before you get here, you need to know that. It's funny, but where it came from is actually quite interesting. So remember, we're talking about a time 5,000 years ago where people didn't have electricity and they didn't have central heating and all the things we take for granted. So if you're building your home in a very cold environment where it snows, you want to face your home south because you're going to get even heat, all right? You're going to get more warmth, and you're going to get more even sunlight throughout the day. So it was considered the best direction to face your home was the south for a very practical reason that I just mentioned. Now, if you couldn't face your home south, the south in Chinese culture is associated with the sun for the reason I just mentioned, okay? It's where the warmth comes from, the sun. The element we associate with the sun is fire, and the color that we associate with fire is
red.
So what happened was people would say, now we're talking about, to be truthful, but, you know, kind of an unsophisticated mass of people, not the people who invented it, but the masses. And so they said, well, gee, if I can't have my house facing south, which I know is the best possible direction for it because of the, you know, the heat, and et cetera, I'm going to paint my front door red to symbolize the south, the sun. And to this day in China, red is the most important color. And that's where it came from, was the healing warmth of the sun so many centuries ago that helped keep people alive and helped their crops flourish.
Okay, that's great. And that makes perfect sense.
Yep.
And it's time for us to take a break.
Okay.
I'm speaking to Kathleen McCandless, author, expert, and teacher of feng shui, who is telling us about her book, Feng Shui That Makes Sense, and all the myths that go along with it. You can learn more about her services by going to www.sandiegofengshui.com. We'll be right back after the break.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? If you're searching for the answers to these and other spiritual questions, you can look within. And you can tune into The Open Door. Our program will expand your awareness of the teachings of the Ascended Masters, offer you practical tools that promote self-mastery and personal freedom, and provide an unerring pathway for graduating from Earth Schoolroom. The Open Door, with hosts Tom Schumacher and Terry Kennedy, is broadcast live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best, Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or a comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Kathleen McCandless, expert, author, and the Feng Shui Mythbuster, who is sharing what really isn't true or practical with Feng Shui. And also, she is willing to take your calls today, too, and answer any questions that you have about Feng Shui at 866-472-5795. And so let's get to another myth, Kathleen. So how about the suggestion that if your front door faces the stairs in your home, that the money in your household will go straight down the stairs and out the front door?
I know. It sounds funny to even say it, huh? But
it does.
A lot of books talk about this, and it's such a funny thing because I like to say, you know, that song On Top of Old Smokey, your money is not a meatball that rolls out the stairs and out the door. It just isn't. But let's talk about the meaning and the purpose for that. Now, if we, again, these are very wise people that created this system, much too wise to say your money falls down your stairs and out the door. But let's talk about, again, our survival instinct. The front door of your home is the most public part of your home. And again, centuries ago, when you wanted to see somebody or you wanted to talk to somebody, you couldn't pick up the phone. You needed to go to their door, right? You had to go physically to their space. And, of course, strangers would come to the door and things like this. So this is the most public part of the home. Now, in most houses, and particularly during the time when Feng Shui was developed, the bedrooms are located upstairs, and the bedrooms are places where we're very, very vulnerable. We're sleeping, we're vulnerable, we're relaxing, and so when you introduce the most private part of the house, in other words, the bedroom area, to the most public part of the house, which is the front door, when you have introduced those two those two things together. You need to look at the safety value. And so what happens is the stairs facing the front door has to do with keeping safe. And so upstairs, we're talking about being asleep and having the front door, have a stranger come to it and the front door, creating access to the upstairs. So the people upstairs are trying to sleep, they're trying to feel safe, and with the front door directly in front of the stairs, the stranger could come in, go right up the stairs and harm people. So and the feng shui master said, put the stairs somewhere else. Don't introduce them right to the most public part of the house. And this way the people could relax and feel safer. So over the centuries, we're talking about a society that doesn't have a lot of abundance. And so instead of remembering that the reason you don't want the front door facing the stairs was for safety, they said, well, we've kind of forgotten the reason why we're supposed to say that, but it must have to do with money. In other words, it became a superstition about money because money was something they didn't have a lot of. Now, let's take it one step further. Okay, so if we're talking about the stairs facing the front door and it's not safe, we can transfer that to another issue. So let's talk about a common one besides the stairs. Let's talk about a bean ceiling. It's the same principle. So in many, many feng shui books, you're going to read that you shouldn't sleep or sit under a beam. And so I've had clients that actually filled in beautiful ceilings. They're beautiful woodwork. They've filled them in or dropped the ceiling because they've read in a book it's bad luck to have beams in your ceiling. Well, again, let's go back to the origin of the beam ceiling and the culture it came from. 5,000 years ago, when your house was built, you built it yourself. Your uncle built it, your father built it, and you were not home builders as we know them today. It was just regular folks, you know, throwing together some mud and some beams to create a home or shelter. So part of the feng shui edict was you don't want to sit or sleep under a load-bearing beam. And the reason for that was the ancient Chinese lived in a very earthquake-prone area. And so it made sense to not sit or sleep for a long period of time under a load-bearing beam because the house itself could have an earthquake and the whole building will come down. So do you understand this was a very practical reason? Just like the front door facing the stairs was to keep the people upstairs safer or feeling safer from strangers coming to the door. And not sitting under a beam or sleeping under a beam made sense because if the house fell down around you in this earthquake-prone area, you would die. So again, these are two very common misunderstandings in feng shui that really had a very sound, practical reason to keep people alive. Does that make sense to you, Regina?
Absolutely. A very common sense approach and things to do for their own safety.
That's right.
Yes.
It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. But if it's okay with you, I don't know how close we are to break, but I'd like to talk to you, just your audience, for a second about something we experience often when we go to a restaurant.
Sure.
When your listeners go to a restaurant, when we all go to a restaurant and the hostess says to you, do you want a table or a booth? What do most people say, Regina?
A booth.
A booth. We all say a booth. And why would you say, Regina, that you like a booth better than a table?
Because it's more comfortable and...
Right. And why would you say it's comfortable? You're right.
Because for me, I'm more supported.
That's right. So even a little animal knows that in order to feel safe, it needs its back protected. So we don't maybe consciously know why we enjoy sitting at a booth, but the truth of it is that everybody sitting in the booth has their back protected. And when your back is protected, your survival instincts go, you know, kind of reduce, you become more relaxed, and then you can enjoy the time together. So again, this is a basic feng shui concept that we want to protect our back, and that way we can relax, and when we relax, we enjoy ourselves better. So this is something we can all relate to.
Absolutely. So here's one I really have to ask you. So there's a whole lot been written about how unlucky the bathroom is.
Ugh.
about
poor bathroom.
All those, yes, the feng shuis, the bathroom drains, the doors.
And I've heard another one that you're flushing money
down the drain.
Oh, gosh. In my book, I say that the bathroom's like the Rodney Dangerfield part of the house. In other words, it can't get no respect. So, you know, the poor bathroom, it's got so many myths associated with it, probably more than any other part of the house. And, oh, my gosh, you know, you got to keep your bathroom door shut or your money goes down your toilet. Let me tell you a secret. So I met a feng shui person a long time ago. I was giving a keynote speech with some other feng shui people. And I mentioned to the person, I said, you know, you've written a lot of books about how awful the bathroom is and scary and the drains. And I said to him, you know, how is that true? And he said, well, it's a vortex that leads out of the house. And I said, well, how's that any different than a window and a door? And the guy just stopped talking because that's silly. It's silly to think that a drain or your toilet is going to pull your money out of your house. But here we go. Let's go back to the origin. 5,000 years ago, when you had to utilize the facilities, it was maybe a hole in the backyard out behind a bush somewhere. So if that is your association with where you eliminate, there's going to be a lot of taboos about it. Please don't put that area where human beings eliminate anywhere close to the house. Okay, that makes sense, doesn't it? Who wants that the outhouse right there by your front door? Okay, so what you really want to do is look at the truth behind where these myths came from. And those ancient Chinese people couldn't have imagined the plumbing that we have, couldn't imagine the beautiful sophistication of our bathrooms. And really, there's no reason to shut the door or to be afraid of the drains. It's just nonsense. But again, we look back at the origin of feng shui and we realize that the taboos associated with it really were very practical 5,000 years ago, but don't pertain to our modern society today. So I hope that makes sense. But I've seen people that have put rocks on their drains. They read in a book they need rocks on their drains. It's all a bunch of nonsense. And really it was rooted in something very practical, just like most of feng shui was.
Okay. So I want you to repeat this one more time. So all the stuff about feng shui, the drains and the doors and keeping the toilet seat down are all myths.
Right. Absolutely. Absolute myth. How in the world does money go down your toilet? If you can explain it to me or go down your drain, if you can explain that to me logically, I'm all for it. But there's no sense in that. Your windows and doors allow more energy to go out than your toilet and your drain and your sink. I mean, it's just absolutely ridiculous. But again, if you look at where it started, it makes tremendous sense to not have the area where you eliminate be part of the house. And they never would have dreamed the way it is right now. So
yes.
And I can tell you this, Oprah and Donald Trump and all those people, I doubt Bill Gates worries about if his drains are closed or not or has rocks on his drains. I think he's doing okay without it. I know I'm doing okay without it. But I've even gone into restaurants and seen their sinks full of rocks. And some feng shui person, you know, made that, you know, in their own home because they thought that's what they were supposed to do. But, you know, you're free not to do that.
Yes, that was for ancient times when that applied then.
Yeah, it made sense then, didn't it?
It did.
It doesn't make sense now. So it has nothing to do with money. It's just, again, one of those things that's carried through the centuries that really isn't true.
Yes. Indeed. Okay, well, it's time for us to take a break, and I'm speaking to Kathleen McCandless, author, expert, and teacher of feng shui, who's telling us about some of these fabulous myths in her book, The Feng Shui That Makes Sense. You can learn more about her services by going to www.sandiegofengshui.com. We'll be right back after the break.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. What are the benefits to combining modern science with ancient healing practices? For the answers, you'll want to tune into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. Each week, our program focuses on ways to live more holistically. By developing new ways of looking at our world, we can find ways to foster harmony and peace for the good of mankind and our planet. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Tune into Frame of Mind, Saturdays at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
Regina Sisko is accepting applications for new clients. Her unique combination of spiritual life coaching and theta healing creates amazing results. Through the Creator's energy, she is able to clear doubts, beliefs, old ruts, and patterns that are holding you back from living the life that you deserve. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com to read testimonials from her clients who share their heartfelt results. Here are a few now. Regina has a unique combination of providing practical tools to help you in your daily life and soulful insights to help guide you on your path. She is the best of the best. Ellen from Denver. Every time I come to see Regina, I feel down and negative. Every time I leave my session with her, I feel lighter, clearer, and positive. I'm ready to conquer the world. Jeanette from Denver. Regina creates a safe, open, and nurturing space, allowing for deep sharing and healing to occur. Act now to move forward on your journey to your true self with Regina. Spaces fill quickly. Go to www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com/contactregina to apply.
Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and we are speaking with Kathleen McCandless, expert, author, and the Feng Shui Mythbuster, who is sharing what really isn't true or practical with Feng Shui. Okay, so how about, let's talk about the bedroom. So I've read that we're not supposed to have any mirrors in the bedroom of any kind. So what's up with that?
Oh, I love it. And if you'll remind me, after I talk about the mirror, I want to talk about not having any plants in your bedroom, too, because that one's equally hilarious.
Yes.
It's nonsense. First of all, I mean, I have a big old mirror in my bedroom. And you know, I've heard things like, oh, you know, you could wake up in the middle of the night and startle yourself. Hello? Has that ever happened to anybody? I don't think so. You know, there's all sorts. Oh, if you have a mirror in the bedroom, you're going to get a divorce because it's going to bring a third person into the relationship. Well, you know, none of this is true. What really can happen, though, if you do have a very, very large mirror, let's say mirrored closet doors in your bedroom, for some people that are very hypersensitive to their environment, the mirror can do one of two things. It can bounce a little more light in there. So that if, you know, the room needs to be very, very dark, it can actually, you know, bounce light. That's the purpose of a mirror, is it reflects light. The other thing is that the mirror is a very large cold surface. And in a bedroom, we sleep better if we have sort of a nurturing, cozy, warm, kind of cocoon feeling in the bedroom. That's why for most people, not everybody, there's always exceptions, but most people feel a little more comfortable with carpeting in their bedroom than a wood or a tile floor, because we kind of like that womb-like feeling. Excuse me. And when you have a large closet door or a very, very large, shiny, cold surface in a bedroom, it can make the room feel cold or less comfortable. And so if you like your mirrored closet doors or your large mirror, and that is the case, it just feels kind of chilly in that room, you can treat it like a window. So just take a nice sheer curtain or any kind of curtain, hang it in front of the closet doors, just close it up at night like you would a window and open it back up in the morning. Other people love the feeling of the mirror, you know, doubling the size of the room, or something like that. But but really, that's a complete superstition. I have a big mirror in my bedroom. It's just fine. Doesn't scare me. As the older I get, probably the middle of the night, I wake up and see myself, and I'm like, oh, my gosh. But but it's certainly not because of any feng shui reason. And the other one I was going to mention is I'd read in a feng shui book that you should never, never have plants in the bedroom. Now, this is a good one. Are you ready for this one, Regina?
Uh-huh.
Because it will suck all the oxygen out of the room. Now, if that were true, number one, plants give off oxygen during the day, and it is true, at night they do give off a little tiny bit of carbon dioxide. It's minute, but that's what they do. They stop producing oxygen at night, and they go into a system where they release small amounts of carbon dioxide. I mean, they're just minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it were true that all the plants would suck the oxygen out of the room, all the people living in the forests all over the world, the indigenous people, would die because they are surrounded by plants. So to say that having a plant in your bedroom is going to kill you is just about one of the funniest, silliest things I've ever heard in my life. So people that are listening out there, it's okay to have a plant in your bedroom. It's not going to kill you while you're sleeping. So, that, you know, I mean, my book is full of these reality checks. And in addition, by the way, for the listeners, it's also full of very common sense ways to design your home, to decorate your home so it really feels good. And I explain to you why I tell you to do what I'm telling you. It's very practical and beautiful, this beautiful system of feng shui, and to reduce it to a set of silliness like sucking air out of a room or scaring yourself in the middle of the night because you look in a mirror is just, I think, honestly, Regina, I think it's an insult to the people that created this system. It's an insult to the culture that created this system. And just to reduce it to a set of silly superstitions is just really kind of sad. But when we go back to the truth of why people created it, it's majestic.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Absolutely. And, yeah, I would really recommend everyone to go to Kathleen's website at www.sandiegofengshui.com, and you can see some of her work. And, Kathleen, if you have any other suggestions where they can see your work, because it's really all about, as you were saying, creating a beautiful, flowing, serene environment.
Yeah, it is. It's creating a space that feels. We go in feng shui. We go one step beyond decor, and we go beyond just how pretty it looks. We want it to feel good. And actually, my other website that goes with the book, fengshuithatmakessense.com. On that site, I have several videos where I do. I show you. It's from my television show, Feng Shui. Feng Shui Living. I have some clips on there about, you know, different tips that people can look at from a video on that Feng Shui That Makes Sense website, so they can see some of this in action.
Yeah,
yeah.
I've seen those. Those are really good. So I would definitely recommend that they do that. And then you're also teaching Feng Shui too, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I teach. Oh, I'm so happy you brought that up. Thank you. I teach consultants how to be consultants. And in October, I have my first one. I usually teach them over a period of time, but because I have so many people from all over, literally the world, that want to take my Feng Shui course, I've done a condensed version of my certification course. This is for anybody who wants to become a consultant or learn more about Feng Shui, and that will be in October. And it's a 6-day intensive. It'll be located in beautiful La Jolla, California, and they can go to either website and click on the certification course to find out more. It's going to be an amazing course, and I have people from all over coming to take it. It's really exciting. So it's for a 6-day period and second week of October, a feng shui intensive for all of the people that have always wanted to learn the practical aspects of feng shui and how to do it in their home or even become a consultant themselves.
Okay, and my show next week is going to be with Wendy Kay, and the title of the show is Mastering the Art of Feeling Good. Remember as a kid how you could yell do-over when something didn't turn out the way you wanted to and then try again? Wouldn't it be great if we could do that as adults when life isn't shaping up quite the way we hoped it would? Wendy is going to talk about her new book, Mastering the Art of Feeling Good. Her book is a practical how-to guide of enriching one's life by learning how to feel good at will. She will share tips on how you can redirect the course of your life. And you can join us next week, Friday, June 22nd at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And Kathleen, thanks so much for being on the show, and I would certainly love to have you on again.
Oh, I would love to be on again, Regina. We could talk about this forever. I love it. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And I also wanted to remind the listeners that you can email me at shiningbright19@gmail.com for a free 20-minute feeling better than ever consultation. Thank you for listening in. This is Regina Sisko with Shining Bright. From my heart to yours, have a wonderful week.
Thank you again for being part of Shining Bright. Please join your host, Regina Sisko, again next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. This week, take one more step to leading the life that you deserve.